Today on Real Radio.
Then they said to him, "Where is he?" And I love this. "I don't know." Because he didn't know. "I don't know." He tells them the truth. He tells them the story. He gives explanation. But when your heart is religious without God, explanations don't matter to you. See, these guys are religionists and they're fighting the miraculous work of God in a simple man's life. They want to know by what authority, by what actions these things were done.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the Gospel of John. We're going to be taking a look at the entirety of chapter 9, the account where Jesus made clay and healed the blind man. Of course, they were grilling him afterwards, saying, "Who healed you? Why did he do this on the Sabbath?" and so on. What was the man's response? "All I know is that once I was blind, and now I see." Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
God says, "You just believe me, and you trust me, and so we must." So he's very there in the issues of life. Also, we see here that we see the love of God through the act of obedience. This is an amazing part. This is my favorite part of this chapter. It says in verse 6, when he had said these things, listen, Jesus spat on the ground and made clay with his saliva. Isn't that wild? Kind of goofy, huh? And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and he said to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which being translated means sent. Go wash in the pool of sent. And he went and he washed and he came back seeing. I love this. This is great. The guy's sitting there. And you know when you spit in the dust, spit in the dirt, kind of forms a little ball? Oh, don't do that. You know what I'm talking about. The girls are going, "I don't know. I don't know." Yeah, you do. You pick it up and you rub it, and he makes like this paste. And he anoints the man's eyes. And then he says to the guy, "Get up and go. Go to the pool of Siloam." Wait a minute, time out. The pool of Bethesda was closer. Why the other pool? Wait, time out. Why didn't Jesus just say, "Eyes be opened"? He could have, you know. There's a lot going on here. According, again, not to the Bible, but according to Jewish tradition, in the rabbinical writings, they literally had a rule that stated, this is prior to Jesus' arrival, that you cannot on the Sabbath day spit and form any type of mortar or balm with spittle or dirt. So what did Jesus, I mean, isn't he cool? He's like, let me think, oh yeah, that stupid tradition they made up a while back. I know what I'm going to do. Mix it up, puts it on the guy's face, and says, "Go. Not to Bethesda, but Siloam." Why? The book of Isaiah tells us that we go down. We are to go down to the pools of salvation and come up rejoicing. And that pool, to the Jewish mind and Jerusalem and the people, was synonymous with salvation. Not Bethesda, Siloam. Go to that pool. So here's a guy with mud on his face, finding the pool, goes down there. Had he seen Jesus? No. He's just acting in obedience. The love of God is at work. This man simply obeys. Would you do that? Can you imagine? Can you imagine if you go out there today and your car, there's a huge blotch of oil underneath your car, and somebody walks by and says, Listen, push your car to the donut shop. Rub chocolate pudding all over the car. Wash it off, and your car will be fine. And you do it. Think about it. This is it. It's nuts. Unless God's in it. So he goes. He does the impossible. He does the ridiculous. And he washes. Wouldn't you love to have been there? He's washing his face. And all of a sudden, he starts to see. He had never seen before. Did he know what Jesus looked like? No. He had never seen Jesus. It's possible he saw his own face in the reflection of the pool first. Looked around. But verse 7 tells us he came back seeing. Second point to this, we were once blind, but now we see changed lives. We were blind once, remember? But now our lives have been changed by the power of God. And I know, I feel just like you do. Jack, I love God. I gave my heart to Christ. But my life hasn't changed as fast as I'd like. I know that. But our lives are not what they once were. Amen. And that's a powerful witness. Verses 8 and 9, a changed life is a powerful witness in the hand of God. Therefore, the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, listen, is not this he who sat and begged? Number 2, some said, this is he. Number 3, others said, he's like him. It's a guy that's just like him. But he said, I am he. Everybody's got their opinion. What's the confusion? This guy's standing there. Hey, is that the guy that was born blind? Nah, that's somebody like him. I think it's him. Then he says, it's me. Why the confusion? Because I think his countenance so changed. Oh no, he didn't get a facelift. He didn't get a tuck and roll. He did nothing like that. He, I think, was so visibly different by the countenance on his face, smiling, looking, that people said, is that the guy? That's what Jesus wants to do in our lives. We were once blind, now we see. And our neighbors and those that are around us say, are you the same person? No, I'm not the same person, but I am the same person. I mean, I've been changed. I can see. A Christian is somebody whose life has been changed. Maybe a little bit, maybe a lot, but there's a difference. I rejoiced this last week. Someone came up to me and they said, you know what? We're in here from out of state, and we heard that our relative was going to this church, and we want to tell you something. And I'm thinking, oh boy. And they said, we can't believe that he's even the same person we once knew. And it was like, yes, God. This is what Jesus does to blind people. He opens our eyes and he causes us to be a powerful witness for his glory. Changed lives, continuing on, verses 10 through 12. A changed life demands explanation. Therefore, they said to him, how were your eyes opened? Now, these are the religious guys. How were your eyes opened? And he answered and said to them, a man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And so I went and I washed and I received my sight. Then they said to him, where is he? And I love this. I don't know. Because he didn't know. I don't know. He tells them the truth. He tells them the story. He gives explanation. But when your heart is religious without God, explanations don't matter to you. See, these guys are religionists and they're fighting the miraculous work of God in a simple man's life. They want to know by what authority, by what actions these things were done. Third point. Now that we can see as believers, we see the reality of God. A Christian sees the reality of God in everything. How so? In all that he does. Verse 13. They brought him who was formerly blind to the Pharisees. By the way, they were commanded to do that according to the law. That was okay. It was to validate the miracle. Verse 14 says, now it was a Sabbath or the Sabbath day. when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also asked him again how he had received his sight. And he said to them, you can almost hear him go, all right, again, he put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and I see. He tells them again, but they won't listen. They want to hear something else, or they want to somehow change the man's vote on this. They're not listening. Now, how did this really happen? I mean, you're saying that you were healed, but how are you healed? He made clay, put it on my face, I went and washed, I'm here. Now tell us really exactly how it happened. They're not listening because they want to fight. They're resisting the reality of God. That's one thing that will always happen, is people, even religious people, will try to explain away the reality of God and how he works. Also this, verse 16, when we see the reality of God, we don't have to worry about what people say. Listen, because what they say or what they don't say speaks volumes for us. Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, here it comes, this man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. Isn't that nuts? Others said, how can a man who is a sinner do such signs? And there was a division among the people. Hey, when people get all upset because you're following God or you're a Christian or you do things morally or ethically right, when you stand for what is right, even to your own harm, listen, people are going to hate you for that. They would much rather have you be like a reed blowing in the wind than a rock that can't be moved, you know? It's true. You take a stand, you're going to take a hit. Just the way that the human nature is. By the way, if you have enemies, and if you don't, just stick around planet Earth long enough, you'll have some. If you take a stand for godliness and for the Bible and for the Lord, you know what? You're going to have enemies. But I tell you, you can tell a lot about a man by the enemies that he has. Look who's amassing a war against you if you're standing for God. And you may very well be in good company. Jesus said, beware if all people speak well of you. And doesn't that cut you straight to the heart? Because don't we all want to be well spoken of? I'll nod yes for you. We do. Satan said to God regarding Job, skin for skin, a man will do anything to save his own skin. And we love when people think and say well of us. And Jesus says, watch out. We need to take a stand. And this man is going to take an excellent stand here. Our fourth consideration, once we were blind, but now we see for ourselves. Now we can think on our own. I think a Christian is the most critical. I don't mean that in the negative. I mean it in the positive. I think a Christian is or should be the most critical thinker, educated thinker. I think Christians should be the most dynamic employer or employee. The Christian. The real Christian. Why? Because we see for ourselves. We know and we can recognize the drumbeat that we march to. It's not the drumbeat of the world. And when a Christian lives for God, it puts to shame the antics of the world. How so? Because we have been personally convinced. In verse 17, the scripture says, they said to the blind man again, what do you say about him because he opened your eyes? And he just absolutely goes all out. This guy who has only known about Jesus for a moment says, he's a prophet. And brother, remember those yarmulkes? They're blowing off the top of those guys' heads now. Boop! Furious! Who's this guy declaring that this man's a prophet when they wanted to kill him? This man's been completely convinced, completely persuaded. You can't stop a Christian who knows what they believe in. It doesn't matter if somebody knocks on your door or corners you at the market or a situation arises in your life. You know what you believe in. And this man says he's a prophet. Why? Because they believed only the prophets of God could do miraculous signs and works of God. And this man, without apology, says he's a prophet. Not knowing, or maybe he did know, that for making such a declaration, this man would be excommunicated from his church or from his fellowship, because that was the penalty. By the way, when I read my Bible and I see these religious, pharisaical nincompoops throwing people out of their fellowships, and you see who they are that's being thrown out, that's a pretty nice church to form, I think. Can you imagine? I know, don't take this too seriously here, but, you know, crusades are fine. Crusades are fine, but you know what's better than a crusade, in my opinion? I think we ought to go take Anaheim Stadium, or whatever it's called these days, Edison International Field. I think we should take that stadium, and I think we should have an in-reach or an outreach or a crusade or whatever you want to call it for the brokenhearted Christian that's out there in the streets, that's away from church, who have been burned, battered, and beaten, who have no fellowship to go to because they've been somehow judged by a self-righteous leadership, something that they didn't meet the criteria, and instead of that leadership exercising grace, out they go. You don't agree, you're gone. And I think there are more Christians outside of church than those that are in church on a Sunday morning because they're hurt. And Jesus goes after them. Would to God that the church would go after them. There's a sleeping giant out there that's trying to patch up its wounds because they've been damaged by an ungodly witness in ministry. And these scribes and Pharisees representing God while they ostracize and castigate people from them. He announces that Jesus is a prophet. Verses 18 to 23, we see this publicly confessed. But the Jews did not believe him, or believe that which is concerning him, that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him who had received his sight. And they asked him, saying, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he see?" And his parents answered and said, "We know that this is our son." Well, that's nice. "And that he was born blind. But by what means he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we cannot tell. He's of age, ask him. He will speak for himself." Now that sounds kind of cute. But here's what the parents are doing. "We don't want to be kicked out of church. You ask him, let him get kicked out of church." That's what they're saying. They were afraid of these guys. So listen to this certainty, verse 24 to 25. Listen to the certainty by which he responds. I love this. "So they again," you notice how many times the word "again" appears here? These guys are slow. "So then again, they called the man who was blind and said to him, 'Give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner.' And he answered and said, 'Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see.'" Isn't that great? This guy's getting sassy. "I know this. I was blind. Now I see." We would have said it maybe this way. "Hey, concerning your judgment about him, that's your problem. All I know is about an hour ago, I couldn't see. Now I can see. Deal with it." This guy's getting exciting. Look at our fifth point to this. "But now that our eyes have been opened, but now we see the miracles of God." How so? Verse 26. "Now we want to follow Jesus." This man wants to follow Christ. "Then they said to him again, 'What did he do to you?'" How did he open your eyes? Man. He answered them, I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciple? This guy's great. He's known the Lord for about an hour, and he's an incredible witness. He's got just chutzpah, you know? He's just there. Then they reviled him. Oh, there's a great... They just... Their heads went back. This is the deal. To revile. Their heads... They cocked their heads back. They did this at the cross, by the way. They cocked their heads back. They hiss and they wag their... They stick out their tongue and wag their head. I don't know how you do that, but it's got to be radical. I guess today would be... Nah, 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 nah. And this guy's like, I mean, look, when God has invaded your life, it's like, pfft, they're like spitting and hissing and, you know, pfft, 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 you know, Adam, he's just like, pfft. What's with you guys? You know, this is hilarious. This guy knows what he believes, even though he just knows so little. He's taken a stand. He knows the miracle of God and it's happened, and he's going to follow Jesus. So they reviled him. And then they say to him, you are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we don't know where he's from. This is amazing. Look at verses 30 to 34. We see marvelous things take place when God opens their eyes. The man answers and says to them, why, this is a marvelous thing. That you do not know where he is from, yet he has opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered and said to him, you are completely born in sins. And are you teaching us? And they cast him out. You can't come to our church anymore. And they shut their door on him. You think he cares? This guy met God. He doesn't care. He knows the Lord. But I love it. Hey, hello, you guys. This hasn't happened since the beginning of the world. That somebody comes on the scene and opens the eyes of a person who's been born blind? Wake up! And they cast him out.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a study called Once We Were Blind, it's a look at the entirety of John chapter 9. We'll pick up with more in this series through the Gospel of John on our next edition of Real Radio. Meanwhile, you can get in touch with us and order your own audio copy of this study in its entirety. You can give us a call at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills at area code 909-393-7100. Again, 909-393-7100. Of course, all of our contact information can always be found at www.calvaryCCH.org. That's calvaryCCH.org. As a matter of fact, you can get a lot of information when you visit us online. Everything from events and service times here at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills to other things happening with our many outreaches. That's calvaryCCH.org. Also remember that Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is made possible by Calvary Chapel Chino Hills and your financial contributions. We invite you to prayerfully consider partnering with us financially. You can send a one-time gift or become a regular contributor. No gift is too large or too small. Here's our address. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Now, if you weren't able to catch all of that contact information, remember you can always easily find it on our website at calvaryCCH.org. Till next time. We at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.